Will you please stand as you are able to join in as we bring ourselves to worship our God? Faithful God, we come into your presence with thanksgiving, deeply grateful for the unfailing love and faithfulness you have shown toward us, your people. When we call out to you, you answer. When we are exhausted, you give us the strength to go on. When we find ourselves in trouble, you are there standing beside us. Today, we come before you with gratitude and praise, offering you the worship of our hearts and lives. Open our eyes to see and know you are here among us. Open our ears to recognize your voice. And then send us out from here to live and work in the world as your faithful disciples. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, we pray. Amen. Let us continue to stand as we sing hymn number 420, God of Grace and God of Glory. Please remain standing if you're able. When we gather to worship God, we remember that we are God's children, but too often we prefer to live life our own way instead of God's. Trusting God's power to make us new persons in Christ, let us remain standing as we confess our sin before God and one another. O God of compassion, if you kept a record of our sins, who would stand? We come before you with our brokenness and our wounds for all to see. We bring our anger, our bitterness, our unwholesome talk, and our deceitfulness. We try to do good, but sometimes fail. We choose to do evil and sometimes succeed. Keep your promise to forgive us when we confess to you completely. Without you, we have no hope. We who walk by faith and not by sight believe the good news. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. Praise be to God for the mercy and grace that forgives our sin. Basking now in the faith, hope, and peace that has been gifted us, let us freely gift it on to others. Therefore, I say to you, may the peace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Please share that peace by waving or bowing to one another.
I have no excuses. First, I leave off an asterisk on God of grace and God of glory to tell you to stand. Then I misplaced the prayer for illumination, and then I sent you the wrong bulletin. Just saying, I am sorry. I do apologize. Thank you for bearing with and for singing and playing one of my favorites. Today, our story comes to us again from the Gospel of Mark, from chapter 3, at the beginning of his story. It's a little confusing. but instructive as ever. So I invite you to pray with me that our ears may be open, that we might hear God's message for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant us courage and wisdom and all things that will enable us to hear your word and understand to the best of our abilities, our human abilities, more about you through the reading of Scripture. And help us to open our hearts to living into your message for us this day. We pray this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. So, Jesus has appointed the 12 to be his disciples and has gone on. So we pick up. Then he went home, and the crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When his family heard it, they went out to restrain him, for people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebul, and by the ruler of the demons, he casts out demons." And he called to them and spoke to them in parables. "How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand, but his end is come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. Then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter, but whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness but is guilty of an eternal sin, for they had said, 'He has an unclean spirit.'" Then his mother and his brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. A crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, "Your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you." And he replied, "Who are my mother and my brothers?" And looking at those who sat around him, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. So, what is it about family? Sometimes the people who populate our families are too wonderful for words. And other times, out of embarrassment or frustration or hurt, we want to run as far away from them as we can. Right? This is especially true when we are teenagers and our parents are, our parents. I actually remember an evening the summer after my high school graduation. I was hanging out at my friend's house. She was there, along with her sister and her very cute 21-year-old brother. It was getting late, but I can assure you that nothing was happening that should not be. That should not be happening. Right? Nothing. Still, my dad appeared suddenly as if out of thin air. and he was not happy with me at all. Talk about being embarrassed. I so wanted to run away and hide. Instead, I went home as asked. You see, Dad was a pretty wonderful force and a pretty powerful force in my life. And once home, I soon realized that he'd come to find me out of love and his fatherly desire to keep me safe. So don't you suspect that it was in love that Jesus' family arrived at the house where he was trying to enjoy a meal between healings? Of course, the way Mark tells it, they also came to take control of him, as if he were behaving in a strange way, and they wanted to protect him from himself. Parents and brothers and sisters share our formative past in a way that no one else does. They know us more intimately than anyone else. So quite often, they can redirect our ideas or behaviors far more readily than could anyone else. Yes, families. They have significant influence on our lives. Several years ago, Time magazine ran a piece about the influence of siblings called The New Science of Siblings. The article pointed out how the particular mix of our own family structure shapes us for our entire life. And that regardless of how rocky the road has been between us, as we age, we draw closer with one another once more and find ourselves more and more influenced, for better or for worse, by our sisters and our brothers. And while it wouldn't be entirely accurate to equate the families you and I live with the one that shaped Jesus' life, I guess it would still be fair to say that then, as now, families were a powerful force in life. And such influence could be quite helpful if an errand to rescue a family member was simply one of compassion for a wayward brother. But I wonder if they may have wanted to also protect the honor of the family name. Remember, these folks lived far more communally with one another than we do today. For them, living in an apartment on your own as a young adult was not the epitome of adulthood. Interdependence was vastly more valued than independence. Back then, it truly did take a village to raise a child. So the village name, the family name, was one of the things that gave honor or shame. Therefore, what Jesus did reflected on the entire household and the entire community. Not only that, but in Jesus' time, gender roles were pretty rigid too. Women worked exclusively in the home while men farmed or did carpentry or whatever to earn the income for the family. Girls were to grow up and have babies so society could continue, and the boys, the young men, were expected to take up where their fathers left off. Failing to adhere to these norms would absolutely bring shame to the entire family. Now, since Joseph doesn't seem to be present as a father figure anywhere in Mark's gospel, how his adult sons behaved was even more important to everyone. By not following his father's career path, though, Jesus had fallen out of line in the family. So, of course, they all went to reel him back in. Families are truly a powerful force. They actually define us from the moment of our birth throughout our lives. And a family is actually sort of a little machine. Think about it. Each person is a part that is shaped by the others to fill a particular role. And ordinarily, families mold our aspirations and give us what we need to pursue them. They teach us how to live with others, and they influence our expectations for all the relationships we will ever have. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to work with a group of pastors as we took a deeper look at the families that made us who we are today. The courage with which each one of us told their stories of both the life-giving and the painful, which mark all of us, was absolutely amazing. We shared one another's joyous memories of vacations well spent, as well as stories that spoke of how easily we can become enslaved in all that has been in the past. Both in Jesus' time and in our own, families have the capacity to deliver both good and not so good. So let's just say that in today's story, Jesus' family went with good intentions to reel the man back to the safety of his family and community life as had been accepted for generations. It doesn't say that in the story, but let's just assume that. Can you imagine how they felt when they found him engaged in a heated theological debate with the legal experts over, Satan? They must have been embarrassed to no end. He was not behaving as their society expected him to behave. He wasn't doing his carpentry job for the family machine. No wonder people were saying he's out of his mind. And things only got worse when he responds to the news that they are searching for him. Encircled by the crowd that is gathered, he asks, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" Can't you just see Mary's eyes closing as she takes a deep breath to steady herself? But I suspect that she is also remembering that this man, her son, is also God's son, and that he actually was doing the work of his Father in heaven. And that work was to bring all of God's creation into God's family. You see, in the course of one simple meal, Jesus actually expanded the definition of family to be a web of relationships that opens up places within it for a whole host of folks besides blood kin or the residents of your little tiny village. I mean, where did the crowds come from? You see, Jesus moves our understanding of family from simply being a place of genetic origins, which, yes, do a great deal of good in terms of protecting and continuing life itself. Family, in that sense, is very good. But he moves us from that understanding to the understanding of family being a group of people that is marked instead by the choices we make. Remember, he says that whoever does the will of God is my mother and my brother and my sister. And in all likelihood, his brothers and Mary were definitely included in his redesign of family unit. Truth be told, every congregation in which I have been a part had the pleasure and honor to be a part has thought of itself as family, church family. And yes, the members love their church families with a fervor that those who are not followers of Christ can ever understand. Such love between that church family is a thing of beauty. And by the way, each congregational family has its own DNA, its own memories, and cherished events. No two are alike. They may all say the Lord's Prayer, but one will, of course, say it using the ecumenical words, which are printed in the front of the hymnal, by the way. And another, they say it at the beginning of worship, while a third absolutely must have it printed in the bulletin in case a visitor doesn't know it. Three different ways, same thing. And no matter what, they and I all fall back into our most basic understandings of the word family. We tend to equate the idea of what it is to be family with what we have known. You know, the machine that we've tended to ever so lovingly all these years. But Jesus is building a new machine, and on his Father's behalf, he's inviting us to fill roles in that new way of life. That is what Jesus is calling everyone to in this story, as well as here and now. So what is it about family? Well, when it comes to Jesus' family, we really are all people who choose to follow his words and his deeds each and every day of our lives with every fiber of our bodies. We choose that. Some days we're wonderful beyond words. And other days, our Lord probably wants to run away from us in frustration and embarrassment. But we're still God's family. We're still loved. And we're still called to do God's will. We are to love others who may not be part of the nuclear family that is Trinity United Presbyterian Church, but who have been created by God and who also seek to serve the Lord with goodness and righteousness. And we are to bring hope, Christ's hope, to all we meet. My friends, my brothers and sisters, God loves all of God's family, including those who are members of other churches, as well as those who are not steeped in the faith yet, as well as each one of us. And I do pray, that you will respond to this vast and incredible love with joy, so that this family and all of God's family will flourish and grow and produce great and wonderful fruit. Family. It's good to be family. Amen.
Let us share our beliefs with one another using the words printed in your bulletin. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. In him, all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn of the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. Amen. You may remain seated as we sing verses 1 through 3 of hymn number 508, For the Bread Which You Have Broken.
Christ, this is the Lord's table. It is not a Presbyterian table. It is not your kitchen island at home. It is the place at which Jesus and his closest followers gathered after long days of preaching and teaching and healing. It is the place where all who have faith in him are welcome. So come. Come to this table where he shall be known to you in breaking bread. Let us pray. May the God of steadfast love be with you. Sisters and brothers of Christ, lift your hearts to God. Beloved of the Lord, sing glad praises to God. Oh God, catching a glimpse of goodness and beauty, you shattered the stillness of chaos with your imaginative word, your spirit of faith, moving, transforming, shaping, and creating. What had not been seen before sprang forth. Suns and moons spinning in the galaxies, rivers racing one another to the seas, gentle grains whispering in the breeze. This garden of wonders and hopes were shared with those you created in your image. But we wanted to do things our way and forsook you for the temptations offered us by sin and death. You would not forsake us, so you sent the prophets to us with words of hope and grace. But we rejected their words as having no meaning for us. Your love was steadfast, and your faith for us did not diminish as you sent Jesus to call us back to your heart. With those whose faith is strong and firm, with those who struggle to believe, with all of every time and every place, we sing our songs of thanksgiving to you. Holy, holy, holy are you, God of our hearts. All creation praises you with words of hope. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes to strengthen our souls. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of hope and forgiveness, and Jesus Christ is your love made human. He could have come to divide us, but came that we might be one with you and with our sisters and brothers around the world. He could have come to judge us, but came to pull us out of harm's way. He could have come to defy us, but came to reject death and sin's claim on us, defeating their power once and for all. As we remember how we have turned our backs on him, we hear his invitation to this table of grace, that we speak of that faith in which we believe, saying, Christ died, Christ is raised, Christ will come again. You surround us with your care, stretching out your hand upon those gathered in this place, your Spirit transforming ordinary gifts into sacred grace and hope. We taste the bread and drink from the cup and notice what we have not seen, the hunger of the world, the loneliness of those around us, the child with no hope. And we do not lose heart, trusting that you will use us to serve these needs around us so that grace upon grace might be shared with our sisters and brothers. And when you stretch out your hand to lead us home and we are gathered around the feast of the Lamb, which we can only glimpse in this moment, we will sing of your steadfast love and faithfulness forever and ever, God in community, holy in one. O Lord, we now humbly ask that you hear us as we lift up to you our prayers as a community, a family of faith. Father God, in love you called us to be family. Yet we hear the groaning of your children for whom the love of family is unimaginable because their safety is constantly threatened and they are impoverished of their basic needs. Hold them close so that they will sense the security that can only be found in you. Hear the voices of those whose hearts are broken with loss, grief, and pain, and their minds and bodies have grown weary with illness and heavy burdens. Cradle them gently so that their pain will ease. Stir us to heed your call as a church and as leaders, as individuals and as those who are in authority. May we not be troubled by the mountains and the wave and the struggles that we face as we enter this new normal life. And guide us with your extraordinary power so that we might share your hope with the world. Bless that which we have given to this church so that our resources will bless other lives in this community and the world around us. And as we wait and press forward for the day when your justice, healing, and love will roll down upon all people, grant us a peace that this world cannot give, but can only be found through Jesus Christ our Lord. O Father God, as humble children, we ask that you hear us with love as we remember the prayer that Jesus gave his family, the disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name. Will be done. On earth, heaven. Give us this day daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from. His arrest. The Lord Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, This bread is my body, which has been broken for you. Eat of it, and do always remembering me. And in the same way, he took the cup. And he said, This cup is the new covenant. The new covenant. It is sealed in my blood, which has been shed for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of it, do so remembering me. Every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do so not just remembering him, but remembering that he will come again and that you will proclaim him now and into eternity. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Take, eat, and drink. Living Christ, you have opened the scriptures to us and made yourself known to us in the breaking of the bread. Let us now go forth, fed at this table and filled by your Spirit, to walk with you all the days of our lives and proclaim the glory of your resurrection to all the world. And all of God's children said together, Amen.
Please stand and sing with me, hymn number 379, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
Friend, but lean on me.
And sisters of the Trinity United Presbyterian Church family. We are all children of God. And by choice, we are brothers and sisters of Jesus the Christ, who taught through preaching and teaching and healing, stories and touches, that all children of God are to be loved and that we are to love one another. So go out to do just that. Teach them of Jesus' love. Teach them that God has offered us hope in Christ our Lord. And go knowing that the love of God, the forgiveness, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that draws us together in the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen and amen.